The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast episode 192. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I am still in my childhood bedroom. Shout out to Christmas break and shout out to Ohio. It's just me today, folks. You know, doing the pod over the Christmas break. You like to give your guys a little bit of a break. Dylan, Nick, I'm sure they're with family at this point hanging out. Michael, he finished his test today to become a pharmacist again. Wish him good luck on the next one. So it's me riding solo dolo on this one. But lucky for you, I have a few things planned. I got a decent amount to get into. We're going to talk Arsenal-Liverpool. And then at the end, we're going to kick it to our previously recorded session with all the guys giving you their predictions for the week. Dylan giving you some bets and getting you out of here with a holiday joke. But first things first, I thought it'd be interesting. I thought it'd be a decent idea, I guess, to do a holiday wish list for a soccer football fan, whatever you want to call it, here. I got 10 wishes, none of them in any type of order except for number one. Think of it as like a 2.5 Mount Rushmore, so to speak, for soccer wishes. And since it's the holiday season, since it's the holiday spirit, I'm going to put the closest thing I have to a Santa stocking cap on. I'm throwing on the Browns palm hat for this one. The NAFTA Santa Claus, Johnna Claus, whatever you want to call me, coming straight to you. Let's get into our 10 wishes for the podcast for soccer moving forward here in this holiday season. Number 10. Wish number 10. Competitive league title races. You know what we're talking about. Leverkusen in Germany, Girona in Spain, Nice? Question mark? In France, they only have scored 19 goals, only given up 9, but they're I think 5 points back of PSG currently. We're yearning for it. I think that we're going to have a decent race in the Prem. Looks like there's 4 teams that have separated themselves. We're going to see if Aston Villa can stick around. But the other leagues, especially in Germany, we want to be able to see a tight race. Italy looks like it's a two-horser. It looks like you're going to have Juventus and you're going to have Inter going after that one this season. But they've had a bevy of different champions over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. So that one's been a little bit different. But man, in Germany, who can knock Bayern off their perch? Is it Leverkusen? Is it Jabby? Can Girona hang on? I feel like that La Liga season is just as grueling and just as long as the Prem because you got the Copa del Rey and everything. And hopefully Nice can hold on. So number 10, more competitive league title races. Number 9. Wish number 9 from the NAFTA podcast boys is one that you're not going to be shocked by. We talk about it a lot. I think we're yelling into a void at this point because it's not going to happen and we know it, but we're going to throw it out there anyway. Berhalter out. Look, there is way too much talent on this team for them to look like they did the last international break. It may be stupid to get a new manager in at this point, obviously, with Copa. If we were going to do that when they fired him the first time, before they rehired him, would have been the right time to do that. But there's too many big games coming up. We're hosting a World Cup. This team is too talented to look like they did against Trinidad and Tobago, both games, to be quite honest with you. And I think it's just time to get some new thoughts, new ideas, new tactics, new ways to look at things and solve problems with this Team USA team. We're big Berhalter out. That is our wish number 9. Number 8. It's an easy one. We already do it in some games. Where the hell is Otto offsides and why is it not in the Prem? Watching the World Cup or watching, I think it was the Euros, whatever it was that had the Otto offsides just made things so much easier. I don't know why we don't do that here in the Premier League. I think it would save a lot of grief and a lot of time for the referees. Obviously, this season with the Liverpool-Tottenham game, we already had a debauchery, a just awful call with that offsides. Auto offsides, let's bring it in. I don't think this will be hard. But as we've found out, the teams have to, you know, vote on it. And I don't know why any team wouldn't want that. Bring auto offsides in. I think that is one thing that we as a fan community reaching across the aisle to the referees, which I'm going to get into a little bit later, trust, we can really get done, and it'll actually make a big impact on the Premier League for sure. Number seven. Wish number seven from the NAFTA podcast. It's going to be kind of painting with a broad brush, but we're getting to host Copa America. And honestly, we just want it to be amazing. We are actually kind of, you know, like spoiled with how much good football, good soccer is around the United States. It's actually kind of crazy how we're still not that great. But to be able to invite the South American teams up to compete with us and Mexico and, you know, Canada making a push, although they are broke, Costa Rica, Panama, who's been crushing it as of late, like to have this entire hemisphere be focused on one title is pretty awesome. I actually hope that there is a way that we can kind of be in Copa America moving forward. I think for the U.S. men's national team, that is something that will help development. It will help us become better at football. It will attract more people to the sport. And it probably starts with us hosting this. I know we've hosted one in the past, but if we can have an amazing summer this summer, and not just the U.S. men's national team play on the field, but honestly just host a good tournament. Have it catch the eyeballs. As much as we wanted to hate on Qatar for what Qatar stood for and whatever, it was an amazing World Cup, and I think people forgot about that. So, like, if you can combine this Copa America, amazing product on the field, I think that this could be a turning point for us as a federation, for us as a team moving forward, and attract a lot more talent in there. So, number seven, we just won an amazing Copa America. Not too much to ask for. Number six, this is going to be a personal one for me. I think Michael would co-sign this too, though. And it'll be a bit of a niche wish here. I want Umbro and Kappa to design all kits. I know that's impossible. I know we live in a world where Nike and Adidas kind of take over. But if you look at the Premier League with Umbro, and then if you look at every other league, France, Spain, I don't think Germany really has, or Kappa has a foothold in Germany, but Kappa crushes it. They saute and they flambe every fucking jersey. It looks sick. I am sick, tired, over it with the Nike templates. That's all Nike does now. It's all templated. It all looks the same. Trust me, when City had Nike, it was a little bit better. Now we got Puma. Oh my God. The jerseys that we've made our team wear over the past 4 or 5 years, how long it's been, the Paisley kit. The gradient Sex on the Beach kit that looks ridiculous. I actually kind of like the black kit that had like the different Manchester stuff on it. You get one. The blue one's been decent, but like that third kit has always been kind of whack with Puma. The kit that just said Man City on the front, weird. Look, if you look at the best dressed team in any league, it's usually an Umbro team. It's usually a Kappa team. To be honest, Adidas has been kind of holding it down with some of the heritage stuff they've been doing. Umbro and Kappa design all kits from here on out. Like, just Nike, basketball, you got it. Football, you got it. Baseball, you got it. Go off, Kings. I just want to see it. Just want to see Umbro and Kappa all kits. That's number six. Number five, a Europa League winner or a deep Champions League run from a team that's not in the power five different countries, that being England, France, Germany, Spain, Italy. I want to see a deep run from Porto, maybe. I don't know, I hope they don't play City, but I want to see a deep run from a team from Portugal, PSV, a team from the Netherlands, a Belgian team. I want to see a smaller confederation, a smaller league team win the Europa League or make a big run in the Champions League. I think that it's so much more fun when there's a team like that in there. Call it like the mid-major effect, the Gonzaga effect, when you have a team that you know is good, but they shouldn't be beating the Milans or the Real Madrids or the Bayerns of the world, and they're pulling it off. I want to see that. Conference League, I could give a shit less. Let's be honest here. No one cares. Shout out to West Ham. Good job. Good effort. But no one gave a shit, to be quite frank. Europa League title, deep run in the Champions League. Give me a team from Portugal. Give me a team from the Netherlands. Give me a team from Belgium. I'm probably forgetting another one. A Turkish team. Give me a Galatasaray winning the Europa League. I think they dropped down into. Like, give me one of those. I think that'd be super exciting. That's number five. Number four. And this is a huge one. And this might be controversial. And I'm not sure if my pod mates will agree with me on this. Because I want to try to transfer hires, too. I don't want to lose certain people. Watching the limited amount of the MLS I did this season, the one thing that stood out more than anything wasn't the athleticism, wasn't the product on the field. You know what it was? It was the ability for Apple TV to broadcast a match to me without any buffering or interruptions. And before you start yelling into your headphones and your phone about my internet, where I watch these games is quite literally right above my router, right above where our internet starts from. So I know it wasn't the internet, right? Apple TV, the crispness of the picture, the ability to not have it buffer, the ability to just have a solid ass broadcast every time was kind of amazing. And you know what? I think it's time for Peacock to get out of the way, to move a little bit. I want Apple TV to bid on the Premier League. I want that to be the destination to watch the Premier League. I think that what they were able to do with the MLS was amazing. You could watch any game you wanted. I think it's even easier with the Premier League where you only have 20 teams. Apple TV, I'm sure you're thinking about it. I don't know when the contract's up. It's probably 10 years or something. But by God, Peacock is awful. The amount of interruptions, the amount of disruptions, the amount of buffering that goes into watching fucking Sheffield United versus Brentford is insane. Now, I acknowledge this at the front end. I don't want to lose Becky Lowe. I could do without Tim Howard, quite frankly. I don't find him insightful at all. I don't want to lose Becky Lowe. The other guys are Deese. But let's take the whole package of the broadcasting from Peacock and let's drop it into the Apple TV ability to just not have any interruptions. That's number four. Number three. I'm going to be screaming into a void on this one. I know everyone on the pod agrees with this. I think most of the soccering, footballing community agrees with this. Can FIFA and UEFA stop just effing things up? Stop adding games. Stop changing formats. Stop expanding things. I sat and watched that FIFA Club World Cup game yesterday. It was terrible. It was awful. We're in the middle of Saudi Arabia. It's a 20% full stadium. It was pathetic and it just stinks. And the fact that we're adding like 35 more teams to this tournament next year, and it's going to be played in the summer. And let me give you a hint. Nothing wrong with it in some countries. This is going to be played in the Middle East in the summer. Just because they're going to bid on it and they're going to give the most amount of money. It's just a mess. The FIFA Club World Cup, which doesn't even have a sick name, it's just a mess. The expansion into the Champions League and what's going on there, it is fully designed so that the best teams move on more often. And by best teams, I mean the most prestigious teams. Having it in that league format staggers the it gives you better games for sure. I mean, I think instead of just having one team in your group that is also good, you're going to have multiples, but it gives smaller teams less of a chance to make or put a run together, make an upset, get second in a group, maybe top a group. I don't hate it. I know Nick's not a big fan of it. I don't hate it, but I don't think you had anything wrong with what we were doing. And they're going to argue that they're getting to add more teams by doing the league format instead. Fine, whatever. But there's really good situations and good setups right now. We don't need to expand. I know at the end of the day, it's a dollar and cents thing, and we're just little people, and we can't make these big decisions because of the dollar and cents of it. But dude, it's just fine. Like, things are allowed to just be good. They don't have to be amazing. They don't have to be great all the time. They can be good. We have good shit right now. It's not bad. So stop effing things up. I actually threw this in here more for Nick. I don't think I was going to bring this up. But all right. Number two on the wish list. It's going to be slightly slighted to America. Women's World Cup in the U.S. 2027. We need it. We want it. We got to have it. We got Copa America coming. FIFA Club World Cup is in the summer. It's going to be in the U.S. as well. I just harped on that. But if you're bringing soccer here, I'm going to watch it. We got the World Cup men's in 2026, 2027 Women's World Cup. I think this would be a great thing to happen, especially for the U.S. Women's National Team, where we saw that they fell behind a decent amount, against the world, in this last World Cup. I think that the hiring of their new coach, it's going to rejuvenate them. I think having this World Cup here would be incredible. And I think that you've been seeing it, especially in Europe, but even here in the U.S., the boom of women's soccer, women's football, and how many people are going to games, how many people are buying tickets. The Gotham, shout out to my home now, New York. It's in New Jersey, I think, but New York, New Jersey, Brooklyn, whatever you want to call it. They won the NWSL this season, and I watched it. I did watch it from a plane, but like never before in my life outside of a World Cup did I ever watch a women's soccer game. It's not because of any views I have. It's just like never on. And now it's on. Now it's on TV. You can see it. You can watch it. And I think it's growing in such a way that it would be incredible to have the Women's World Cup here. That is number two. Number one. Like I said, none of these in any type of order except for number one. Number one is huge. We mentioned VAR in the past. Or not VAR, but we mentioned the automated offsides. It's getting into the refereeing that is going on. Number one is abolish PGMOL. I'm asking for anarchy, and I don't really know what I want. That'll make Nick laugh. But I just know I don't want what I have. I just know there's something better out there. I think an interesting point here is, like, this season, the refereeing has been so atrocious and so bad at such a level that we may actually get some changes, hopefully. I'm hoping that the momentum of them sucking so bad is actually going to get us some changes and some updates and some new perspective into refereeing so that the product on the field there as well can be better. I know Rebecca Welch is going to be the first Premier League referee. I believe it's the Fulham game on the 23rd, Fulham-Burnley, I believe. Why did that take so long? One, and two, let me tell you, if we've only had dudes doing this whole time, they've been awful. They've been terrible. Like, even if you're sexist and you don't want women to referee for you, you can't argue that you could, anything out there is better than what we have. If you want to throw Air Bud out there as a dog referee, it's going to be better than some of the shit that we've seen. Some of the calls that have happened. I think we need to open up the ability to referee to anyone who wants to do it, because it is a thankless job. It is a job where you're going to be criticized and you're going to be scrutinized. And if someone wants to do that, we need to open that up. And we need to, again, I'm kind of talking about how I view teachers. We need to make it a job that people kind of want to go into to be part of football, to be part of soccer. You got to probably pay them better. I don't know what they're paid. Should have done some research there. But like, we just need to make it more attractive, because you're not getting good talent. You're not, like, as much as we want to joke with about Man United on this pod, the Delo red card was atrocious. It made no sense. It was so stupid. The Tottenham Liverpool game, like I mentioned earlier, awful call. How does that even happen? And then I'll throw my bias in here. Not being able to play continuation. There's no guarantee Grealish is going to score that goal. Let's be quite frank with ourselves here. But like to not have the opportunity, it's inexcusable. So abolish PGMOL. I don't know if that's even really what I want to do, but like, let's get more Rebecca Welch's. Let's get more people involved. Let's get more people refereeing. Let's get better referees in there. Let's have some consequences if you totally screw up. And let's not have them shy away from their own controversies if they are screwing up. Let's have them answer for it. I think it just needs a total overhaul, a total rehaul. I know I'm not the only one thinking that. I know it's a pretty stereotypical wish. But get PGMOL out here. Because Dylan's had more apologies for his Wolves team this season than any one man should have to listen to an apology for their team. PGMOL out. NAFTA wish list done and dusted. Let's get into the game of the week. Arsenal, Liverpool. Liverpool, they're hosting Arsenal. It's the game of the week. These are two teams at the top, at the very top of the table. Arsenal number one, Liverpool number two. A tale of two teams as well, kind of coming into this. You have the Liverpool team that tied United, and then today I'm recording this late on a Wednesday night, but you got Liverpool smacking the shit out of West Ham in the Carabao Cup 5-1. But you also have an Arsenal team that lost recently to Villa. I know Villa's on a heater. Villa's unstoppable. But then they beat Brighton 2-0. There are certain themes in this that I think are going to be key. I don't pretend to come on here and be an expert. I think the fans' perspective and the fans' point of view is something that is always important. And I think that's why we do the pod, because we're all just fans. And, you know, I think how this game will unfold is going to be really important in the first 20 minutes. I think there's going to be a dip in the middle like there always is. I feel like this season, just going back and thinking about the City game with Liverpool, Liverpool does a really great job of kind of taking the air out of certain games, big games. I think Klopp is really, really good at drilling his team when they're playing a City, when they're playing an Arsenal, Man United even. I mean, I think that happened and then they just weren't able to capitalize. But they're really good at making sure they're hyper-focused and making sure that you as a opponent are hyper-focused as well. So much to the point that you're dribbling the ball, there's 5 minutes into the game, whatever, and you look up and there's 45 minutes and not much has happened. Like they are masters this season, I feel like, honestly, at not making a mistake or giving up a goal. And I'm sure Michael could come on here and tell me how big of an idiot I am for thinking that. But just watching the Liverpool games I have, and they're going up against Arsenal, who, if we're being honest, was the Man City defense we thought we had and were promised at the beginning of the year. When we did our preseason predictions, we joked that City might not give up 15 goals. That obviously has already surpassed. But this Arsenal defensive line is probably the best defensive line, defensive unit in the Premier League. So that's definitely going to play into this as well. The one thing that I do want to mention, I know Michael has talked about this a ton, is the inability this season so far for Arsenal to score in open play. And I think that's a huge, huge thing to talk through and to think about. Nketiah is their top scorer. He's got 5. Saka's tied with him with 5 as well. So they're top. Havertz with 4. I want to say, and you're going to hear my prediction here in a little bit, but I'll spoiler alert it. I'm picking Liverpool in this one. A, it's at Anfield. I think it's really difficult to beat them away from home or at Anfield. And I think it's going to be really, really difficult for Arsenal, because I think that Klopp knows he has to limit the dead ball opportunities and the free kick opportunities. It will be interesting, though, because I know both teams want to hold possession. And Arsenal, to their credit, I think has been the best team at possession in the Premier League this season. And I think Arteta, as we saw last season, maybe not how they finished, but we did see last season, he's a top coach. He's an amazing coach. Declan Rice is going to play a huge role in this game. He has been as promised, honestly, coming over to Arsenal this season. I hate doing this, but I think it's been true. Obviously, Rodri hasn't played as much, but I think Declan's the best DM. He does so much for this team, and he runs this midfield for this team. And in the Premier League, I think he's been better than Rodri, who I think held that crown last year for sure. And I know Declan's going to play a big role in this, having Odegaard in that midfield. And I think if you want to look at units and who has the advantage, it's right now on form, especially like that Liverpool front line, I'll take any day of the week. I know there's some frustration with Darwin, as a lot of our fans reached out to us with some of our content this week. But Darwin's one of those dudes, man, where it's like he could have a terrible game for sure, but he also has four goals just in him somewhere, and they can come out of nowhere. I would take the Liverpool front line over the Arsenal one. I think I take the Arsenal midfield over the Liverpool midfield right now, just because you got Odegaard, you got Rice in there. And then the defense, I know I waxed poetically about Arsenal just now, but I think it's a toss-up at times. It depends on what backline is going to show up for Liverpool. I think if you're going to get a good Virgil van Dijk, that's key. That second center back section, if it's Konate, which I hope it is, I think they need to start playing with each other. I think that is going to be the partnership that is going to be the difference for Liverpool this season. I think he's wildly good as well. And can Liverpool shut down Arsenal on the wings, I think is another question that we have to think about and think through. And you know that Trent's going to enter the midfield as well. You know that he's going to drift away from the sideline. Can they limit the mistakes on that side and limit the mistakes in a way that you're not giving free kicks and dead ball kicks that can go into the box? And like we just said, that's how Arsenal score. So again, this is not, it's tough to do analysis like this when you're the only person on the pod and you can't bounce ideas off of people. But I know the sections of the pitch I'm looking at are going to be the Arsenal offensive wing. Is Liverpool able to recover back? Are they able to limit mistakes? Are they not going to give up chances to Saka? And then the midfield as well. You're expecting Arsenal to dominate the midfield. But just recently, you've had some bad games with Szoboszlai. Don't count out how Klopp sets a midfield up to not get overrun. I think that's something that he's actually very good at. And I know that they've had an overhaul in the midfield. I want to go back in here and see if McAllister is fit to play or not. And nope, it looks like late December. So, you know, you're hoping that Klopp has a plan for the midfield, because I think that's where they're going to get hurt the most. And then there's a good chance that Liverpool are going to sneak a goal where you're not expecting it, because Salah is still Salah. As much as a couple episodes ago, I wanted to maybe start the rumor that he's slowing down. And sure, the last game against United, I think we all were like, oh, what's going on with him? He could have three bad games in a row, and then next thing you know, he has a hat trick against someone and his shirt's popped off and he's showing off the chiseled nips to the Anfield crowd. I think Anfield's going to play a big role in this. I know that Jurgen even mentioned, he's like, hey, if you're planning on being quiet, give your ticket away. And I think that this will be a huge test for both teams, obviously. I think Liverpool think they have a really great shot to win it this year, as does Arsenal. And I think last year, Arsenal's still trying to exercise some of the demons of the downfall that they had at the end of the year. And I think this, a win, I don't think a draw, I think a win at Anfield is how you do it. I think both teams probably would be satisfied with the draw. You're going to give up some runway, and Villa would have a chance to go top of the league if they win. But I do think an Arsenal win at Anfield would be an exclamation point on this season for them. And I think that it would be, they would become the team getting chased. I think Michael and I especially, I know Dylan picked them to win it this year, but Michael and I especially are very hesitant to say that they are the top dog. They're the leader in the clubhouse. And I think for me, as always, it's an, you got to prove it. You got to get it done. I'm doubting Thomas type of thing. But I do think if they are, have the ability and they are able to pull off a win at Anfield, they become top dog in this league, no doubt. So with that said, my prediction for this game, I'm going to have Liverpool win. And I think it's going to be a 2-1 dub. How I see this playing out, I actually think Arsenal goes up 1-0 in the first half. And either Liverpool gets one right before half, or Liverpool gets one less than 10 minutes into the second half to tie it up. And then you get another classic in Anfield with a goal post 85th minute from Liverpool. They get all 3 points. And I think two for them. To have the top of the table team come into Anfield and to get a win, it'll be a exclamation point for them. And, you know, whoever wins this one is, and this is a duh comment because they're going to be top of the table, whoever wins this one truly is the leader in the Prem for this season and the ones that need to be chased down by whatever team is hoping to win it. So I got Liverpool 2-1 winning this one, but let's hear from all the other guys. Let's bring them back in. Let's get our predictions in for this weekend in the Premier League and some bets from Dylan. Before we do that, if you are listening to this and you're a subscriber, thank you. Leave us a comment. Give us a like. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. We have an episode a week. Sometimes we have two. We'd love to engage with you guys. If you like what you're listening, please show us some love back. Let's get into the predictions with the boys. All right, we're back. Last episode before the holidays. Happy holidays to everyone. We're going to get into the Christmas time fixture, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Dylan, you guys have a Christmas Eve game, and it's like one of the first ones that they've scheduled in like 20, 30 years or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, if you go on the interwebs, the Wolverhampton locals are not happy about it at all.
Yeah. I read a couple things where they're just like, they don't understand. These people have to get to their families and whatnot. I was like, all right, like Wolves, like that's a valid, fair point. Fair point. We got a slate of games. Your game of the week is obviously going to be Arsenal Liverpool, which is coming up. Just to give us a rundown, good week by everyone. Everyone went 6-3. Dylan went 7-2. Pushes them back above 500. Dylan, you are sitting at 85-84. I'm in third with 93-76. Nick, still in second, one game ahead of me, 94-75. And Michael, just having a Tiger Woods-like prime season predicting these games, unfortunately. 102-67. If he can go undefeated, he will be over 40 games, over 500, which is insane. Let's get into it, though. Palace, they come off a big win / draw against City. They're going to be hosting Brighton. Michael, who you got in this one?
I got Brighton. I think they need a win. I think they need something to boost their morale.
Yeah, actually totally agree.
Europe is good.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Premier League, Brighton is down bad tremendous right now. I got Brighton as well. Dylan, who you got?
I think Brighton bounces back, gets the W.
Nick?
Ditto. We're going with the goals.
All right, Villa, they had to win against Brentford, like we mentioned before. Now they get to host Sheffield United, a little bit easier of a match, obviously. I think the train keeps rolling. I think Unai's got him going. I got Villa in this one. Dylan, who you got?
I don't even know what I'm thinking about this. Villa.
It's like, this would be an easy one. Nick?
Yeah, we're going to go with Villa. This should be the no-brainer of the week.
Yeah. Michael?
Q loss.
Villa. If they lose this, it's bad.
All right, Nick. West Ham. They're hosting the Red Devils. Big draw. Hopefully you listened to the last podcast to hear the back and forth between Michael and Nick on that one. But you guys are rolling into London. Who do you got in this one?
I very uncomfortably and unconfidently am going to pick United.
Michael?
I got West Ham.
Troll job, love it. I got United as well. I got United in this one. I think hopefully they get a goal here and there.
I'm not trolling.
Dylan?
I think United's about to start a streak. So give me the tie because it's going to be a streak of draws.
Let's hear it. Fulham hosting Burnley. No Raul Jimenez in this one, obviously. Michael, who you got Fulham Burnley?
I don't think Raul Jimenez is that big of a loss, so I got Fulham because I think Burnley are bad.
Yeah. I got Fulham as well. Dylan?
I'll take Fulham.
It's at home. It's at the Cottage. Nick, who you got in this one?
Cottagers.
Luton Town. Going to host Newcastle. At Kenilworth Road. To be totally honest, we are recording this on a Sunday night, just to give people a heads up. I don't know what the protocol is here. This game could actually get abandoned as well. Just, I don't know. We don't know because of Tom Lockyer. I think we all have Newcastle, though, if I was a betting man. If we all do, we can just shake our heads. Yep.
Wait. So, Joe Linton's out, right? Because he just got hurt the last game. So they're out without a midfielder now. It's going to be Longstaff, Miley, Guimaraes at Luton. This might be the Luton Town win.
Think so?
That's a fair point.
I got Newcastle. Yeah. I'm just saying it could be. You got
space to burn, Michael. Come on. Yeah. This is what you always said. This is why I'm in first.
Michael's hedging there.
I always pick.
City hosting Brentford's not happening, so let's move on. Forest, Bournemouth. This will be a battle of titans for this one. It's at Forest where they play a little bit better. Nick, who do you got?
City ground is a really tough place to play, but the Forest is hurting, man. They're really hurting. So I'm gonna go with the hot hand. We're gonna go with the cherry tree.
All right. He's got Bournemouth. Dylan.
I know, Michael. Sorry, buddy. That one was really bad too.
Until I see them mess up, I'm gonna take Bournemouth as well. I think Bournemouth is much better than Forest.
Wagoned out. Michael, who you got?
I think this is getting to the point where Forest need a win. I think they're going to be very determined. They're at home. I got Forest.
You got Forest. I think exactly like you, but I do think also like the Tuckers where Bournemouth's really pretty good. I think it's a draw. But I do think Forest have to come out and start putting together some performances. Tottenham Everton. Ange Ball is... Huh?
This is so tough.
Yeah. Tottenham, Ange Ball getting back rolling. Everton on an absolute tear right now. I'll put my pick out there first. I got a draw. Dylan, who you got?
I'm riding it. Everton.
Nick?
He wants to. Come on, join me on the toffee side.
Hank just got a new fish.
I'm here for... It's the holiday season. I'm here... It's the giving season. I'm here for Hank. I'm going to switch my pick. Yeah. I'm taking the toffees.
Loves it. Michael, who you got?
No Basuma. He got a red card. I got Spurs. I still think that they're too good going forward.
I'm going to be on one. Do you know, by the way, that we know we were talking about him being out for four games, but then AFCON starts, so like he's actually out for a lot longer.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That always does. So I forgot that AFCON's happening. Damn. We'll have to talk about that kind of in an episode coming up. I need confirmation. I don't know if they can coexist or commingle, but if Hank does have this nice fish tank, I need a little baby turtle at the bottom named Deitch.
I don't think that exists yet, but I will suggest it to him.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Michael, game of the week. Liverpool hosting Arsenal. Who you got?
I know we have midweek against West Ham at home. I still think that this has to be a bounce back. I'm going to back Liverpool on this one. If we play like we did today, we're going to get fucking smashed.
Yeah. Not going to score a goal for sure if you play like that today.
Definitely won't score.
Dylan, Liverpool hosting Arsenal. Who you got?
Defense wins championships. Give me Arsenal.
Nick?
I think Liverpool's going to come out blazing. I think they're going to smash them.
Yeah, I got Liverpool as well, which should scare Michael probably.
You.
All right, sorry.
Dylan, last game of the week, Wolves, Chelsea. Bring this home for us. This needs to be a pod win. Who you got?
I actually think we're going to beat Chelsea. I'm taking Wolves.
I love it.
Against everything I believe in, but I'm taking the Wolves.
Let me pile on. I got Wolves as well. It's at home. It's at the Molyneux.
This is the exact game after just laying a bunch of eggs that we win.
Yeah. Walking into Wolves Wonderland in this one. Michael, who you got?
Wolves, baby.
Oh, yep. Fuck.
Nick?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
No.
You know what? I'll do a halfie there. You know what? No. I'm going to take a draw.
No, I saw your picks beforehand. You had Chelsea. Keep it with Chelsea.
I just changed
it. We don't want you. If you don't believe, we don't want you.
I'm taking a draw. I have too many away wins. I'm looking at it now. Too many games on the away side. It's like picking C three times in a row on a test when you know they have nothing to do with each other.
In the words of Zach Bryan, if you plan on leaving, don't show up at all. Go Wolves. Got to get a big win there. Dylan. Yeah?
I just want to wear my Wolves Christmas sweater with a win. That's all I want.
It's simple man, simple life. Love it. Who you got betting? Do you have any bets for us to run with this week?
Of course I do. Let me get to my notes. So we'll keep it pretty light, and we'll take Bournemouth-Nottingham Forest -120. We're going to take over 2.5 goals, get us kicked off. I'd love to do both teams to score, but it's -160, so I'm just going to assume that we get the 3 goals, which also now reminds me. Sorry. You know what? Screw that. You can take that, but add on top, both teams to score, no draw, because someone's winning this game at +145. I actually like that better, just because of the odds there. So we'll put that in. Bournemouth +150. Like I said, I think the wagon keeps going. We'll take them there. And then if it happens, Newcastle-Luton under 2.5 +100. I think that ends up being a low-scoring affair.
Love it. Guys, EFL Cup's midweek. If you had to pick the winner, who would it be? Michael?
Going with Liverpool? Thing?
Yeah. Just real quick. There's 8 teams left.
Yeah. Liverpool.
Dylan?
I got to see who's still in it.
Chelsea, Liverpool, Newcastle, Everton, Fulham, West Ham.
Right. Everton. They're gonna get a trophy out of this season.
Nick, who you got?
Who's it against? I'm trying to find it. I'm talking about right now.
This is such good potting. I'm glad I brought this up. Everton play Fulham. Chelsea play Newcastle, Port Vale, and Middlesbrough. And then Liverpool, West Ham.
I want a Merseyside derby in the final. Let's go Everton.
That'd be interesting. I'll be the odd man out.
I'll be the odd man out. Just take a wagon on the roller coaster today.
Yeah. I'm going to tell my mom not to listen to this episode. I think Newcastle will get their revenge. They get a trophy. That'd be interesting as well. All right. That is the pod. Like, subscribe, share. Like I mentioned before, leave us some comments. They've been only halfway terrible. I send the bad ones to Michael to have him tell me, like, don't respond, which has been fun. But some of them are good. We enjoy the back and forth. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Go Wolves as a collective on the pod. Get that dub. No bias, though. No bias against Chelsea. Dylan, get us out of here with our last holiday joke.
So what kind of Christmas music does Sean Dyche like to listen to? Rap music. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.